It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. More than 1,000 American Airlines employees picketed the world's largest carrier today at DFW International Airport. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports transport and ground workers are worried about job security.
The Transport Workers Union and the International Association of Machinists represent more than 30,000 mechanics and ground workers. They've gone without a new contract for nearly 2 years, while other groups negotiated new contracts since the airline came out of bankruptcy. Transport and ground workers worry about outsourcing. They say a $100 million maintenance facility will be built in Brazil, staffed by foreign workers, including many uncertified by the FAA. American's Matt Miller says the company recognizes the right to demonstrate.
American is incredibly thankful for our skilled and well-trained maintenance and fleet service team. We have a shared goal with the TWU IAM Association to make sure our team members are well compensated and that they work for a company that values them immensely. We look forward to reaching an agreement just as soon as possible.
Negotiations continue in August. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
The driver, accused in the deaths of 10 people found inside a packed tractor trailer in San Antonio, was scheduled to be back in court tomorrow, but a hearing has been rescheduled for late next month. Federal immigration officials say the tractor trailer is part of a larger organization involved in human smuggling that authorities are trying to identify and dismantle. Carrie Ward is a history professor at Rice University. She researches forced migration.
This particular case, and I'm sure many like it, it is an organized, highly organized industry. Human smuggling globally is a highly organized operation. But human smuggling doesn't always take place at this kind of scale. And I think we have to remember that people cross the border in all sorts of conditions of human smuggling. But this particular case does highlight just how routinized, how organized, and how this is linked to crime networks.
Bill Beardall is director of the Transnational Worker Rights Clinic at the University of Texas Law School. He told Texas Public Radio in San Antonio that dangerous smuggling incidents would be reduced and prevented with comprehensive immigration reform.
It would, among other things, open up a channel for legal immigration that is closed off to people like the victims of this tragedy. Legal immigration that is safe, that is orderly, that is well vetted, and that creates an avenue for us to bring in the immigrants whom we are using now, but under more realistic conditions, and utilize their labor and avoid having this apartheid system where we have a group, an underclass of second-class people being forced to live in the shadows.
The driver of the tractor trailer found in San Antonio has told authorities he did not realize anyone was inside. James Matthew Bradley Jr. faces the death penalty if he's convicted. Less than 1% of employees who believe they've been subjected to workplace discrimination file charges with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Only a few of those charges lead to lawsuits, and even fewer make it to trial. Today in Think, Chris Boyd talked with Laura Beth Nielsen of the American Bar Foundation about why so many people are reluctant to pursue discrimination lawsuits.
People don't want to identify as a victim, right? So saying I've been discriminated against and this is what's causing my failure to have a good work life is something that sort of psychologically holds people back. We also know that there's a pervasive idea out there that people who are using the law are, you know, greedy plaintiffs looking for a big windfall. So there's that as well. But there's also really practical things like not being able to find a lawyer who will take your case, not being able, even if you have a case that is meritorious, maybe not being able to articulate it in such a way that a lawyer hears the claim, right? So there are a lot of different barriers everywhere, from the psychological barriers to the financial barriers to the just knowledge, just knowing what the law provides.
Laura Beth Nielsen is the author of Rights on Trial, How Workplace Discrimination Law Perpetuates Inequality. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Duchenne muscular dystrophy is a genetic disorder that affects about one in every 5,000 boys. Girls are rarely affected. Many patients die before age 30. Researchers at UT Southwestern Medical Center are using gene editing technique that shows promise in stopping progression of the disorder, first in mice and now in human cells. Eric Olson is the director of the Wellstone Muscular Dystrophy Cooperative Research Center at UT Southwestern. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
First off, describe what Duchenne muscular dystrophy is.
Duchenne muscular dystrophy, often abbreviated as DMD, is a disease that affects all the muscles in the body, the skeletal muscle and the heart. Essentially, what it does is it causes muscles to degenerate and ultimately leads to boys being confined to wheelchairs.
What causes Duchenne muscular dystrophy?
This disease is caused by mutations in one gene, a gene called dystrophin. That's the largest gene in the entire body, and there are thousands of different mutations in that gene that can cause this disease.
You and your colleagues have been using a gene editing system called CRISPR. Could you describe that for me?
CRISPR is a revolutionary new technology that now enables scientists to manipulate or rewrite the genetic code. This is really amazing. My laboratory had worked on muscle diseases, including Duchenne muscular dystrophy, for decades, but really it was difficult to make any headway. When we read about the power of CRISPR to change a DNA sequence, we thought to ourselves, how could we apply this to Duchenne muscular dystrophy, the devastating disease that has defied all therapies? So we began with mice that have muscular dystrophy. And we asked, could we fix the mutation in these mice that causes the disease? And we were stunned and exhilarated to see how efficiently we were able to fix the disease in these mice.
So after successfully testing this in mice, what happened next?
We've gone on and we've been able to obtain cells, a small sample of blood from many different boys with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and using that small blood sample, we can use a maneuver in the laboratory to turn the blood sample into muscle cells in a dish, and then we can add CRISPR and ask, can we fix the mutation in the cells from this boy?
How did you feel when you realized you were onto something?
I got to tell you, one of the most exhilarating experiences as a scientist is to look through a microscope at cells from a human patient who's suffering from a devastating disease because they can't make a certain protein, and to use CRISPR then to fix that mutation and now restore the production of the missing protein in the cells from that patient is really almost a spiritual experience to see that. So there is no question that this technology can fix mutations that cause Duchenne muscular dystrophy and undoubtedly many other disorders. It's going to take time, and there are still a lot of challenges.
And how far off is this treatment from being approved for human use?
It's still quite a ways off, and this is a difficult question. Yeah. So we are testing the technology now in mice and other animals. So far, every indication that we've had says that it is safe and effective. But you have to keep in mind, this is a completely new technology, and it has enormous power and potential. So it's incumbent upon us as scientists to be cautious and respectful and to move forward in a very systematic way. I would say if things continue to work as well as they have to date, that within a few years we might be ready to begin to think about how we could advance this into patients.
Eric Olson and his team's research appears in the journal Science Advances. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Our heat advisories in effect until tomorrow night. Otherwise, mostly clear skies this evening. Should be a low around 80. Tomorrow, sunny and hot with a high near 101. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low around 81. It's about 97 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 96 in Tyler, 95 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.